headed back in. Turned in! A second of the game for Van Veen, and he is loving it. Cornelius on the edge of the ball. Oh, wow! How special is that for his first Motherwell goal? For Slatnick, and he shot away. It's a fantastic strike. And it's thundered in by Liam Grimshaw. What a moment for him, the fans' favourite.
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. It's been just over 2 weeks since we last recorded, and since then, well, everything's happened almost. A new manager in at Firth Park, a European exit, two league games, and I'm joined in the hottest day of the year by Pepe and Jaffa to go over, wow, just an incredible couple of weeks. How's it going, guys?
Well, good.
Doing well, mate, doing well.
Good stuff, and I suppose the obvious place to start is round about midday today, Pepe, the announcement came from the club that Stevie Hamill will be the man that replaces Graham Alexander in the managerial position at Firth Park. The process hasn't been too long, it must be said. It appears that there was three candidates interviewed. We know that one of them was Simo Vallecari. In the end, the club have opted for someone from within, obviously, Harold, the former head of the academy. I'm going to go into this in a bit more detail later on in the podcast, but what's your initial reaction to the news?
I kind of thought, personally, it was going to be Vallecari. I almost took myself back to when Keith Lashley was in charge and for the game against Hamilton, and thought it's maybe just a wee bit early, and I thought along similar lines. But he certainly came across pretty well, saying the right type of things. And as supporters, I suppose it's our role now to get behind him. He is a club legend. I know that legend gets flung about, but he's maybe just a wee bit younger than what we'd have thought, but there's successful managers out there. They just need to be given that opportunity. So I'll be feeling a bit behind him. I was a wee bit surprised that maybe there wasn't a more experienced number two coming in, but obviously him and Brian Kerr work well together, so I suppose overall I'm happy enough with it. If not, I'm not overwhelmed with it, but I'll definitely be 100% behind them.
Jaffa, that seems to be the general consensus going on social media and such. Like, the reaction has been a fairly positive one, though of course it's the usual question marks over a lack of experience. But the old adage kind of goes, you can't get experience unless you're given that opportunity.
Exactly, mate. I don't know what social media you've been reading, that it's been mainly positive. That's not what I've been seeing, but I'm actually kind of quite happy with it. Obviously, can thought Simo was in pole position to get the manager's job, and I would have been quite happy with that, but I've got no idea what kind of manager he has been abroad. But I wasn't sure whether Hamill actually had any aspirations to be a manager, or whether he was going to be happy sort of working as the head of the youth academy. But as Pepe said, he's kind of said all the right things, and it's obviously he's in and around the club, so he's been watching what's happened. He kind of knows, he's got an inside track of what's went wrong and what needs to be put right, and he's certainly got an inside track on kind of the players identified, positions identified that he needs to get cover for. So in that, I'm behind it kind of 100%. It's one of these strange ones. It's kind of always the way sort of when Motherwell get a new manager in, it's like sort of as we've sort of seen in the past with a couple of appointments come from left field. And the thing is, it's like it's always the same when a new manager gets brought in. It's people sort of point to experience and that they're not a big enough name and kind of they haven't done enough in the game. But that's always going to be the case with a Motherwell manager. It's like we're never going to bring in a Pep Guardiola or a Jose Mourinho, and It's kind of, I've also seen that kind of a lot of people claiming that this is a cheap option, and it's like, well, maybe it is, but it's like that's the market we're in. Unfortunately, it's like that was a thing that I kind of started to worry about, kind of what Simo's contract situation was with his current club and how much compensation they would have been looking for if we were to make the approach to get him. I mean, all of these things factor in the club, because it's where a club that I've got to very much watch the pennies and pounds. So I always knew that it was probably going to be somebody that wasn't attached to a team that was going to get the job. So I'm perfectly happy with Stevie Hamill, and we'll just need to give him a chance and see how he gets on. I mean, with Football Management, things can change very quickly, and it's there's already been chat in my friends group that kind of that there's probably going to be sort of sacked by Christmas chat going on and stuff like that. But I'm quite happy with it. He seems kind of fairly level headed, and as I said, he's got a basic understanding of the club and the needs that we have to sort of address going forward. But I'm quite happy with it, mate.
Pepe, Jaffa makes a good point in the fact that Stevie Hamill knows the club. Of course he does. He was a player for so long, club Hall of Famer, head of the academy. I think there's two bits of positivity I can take from the appointment, in the sense that he knows the youth academy so well, he'll know the young talents. Perhaps has built up a wee bit of frustration that some of his young players coming through haven't been given their opportunities in the first team. We always like to see a couple of our own breaking through and making an impact. It's a high pressure game, of course it is, but the players on the park just now aren't delivering. The other element of it is that he's had a couple of games in charge in the league season as well. He's worked with these guys for the last 2 weeks. Does that help in the sense that he'll know where the deadwood is, the players that he needs to be trying to get out the door, and more importantly, the areas where he needs to strengthen, no matter whether these guys go or not?
I think all these factors definitely have influenced the appointment. I mean, in his interviews, he said that they've looked at the recruitment, but I think that is a really important aspect that we'll maybe get a wee bit further. That obviously there's Nick Dawes. Nobody seems to have mentioned him. He never really seems to come to the club. Never really seemed to mention him in the same vein as what they did with Martin Foyle. In respect to I mean, we've seen already that he's got faith in the youth now. Graham Alexander signed Robbie Mahone from obviously Bohemians, I think it was it? Or from Ireland anyway, and didn't see fit to play him. And the game on Saturday was crying out for a forward player, and Hamill had the faith in him to play him. Albeit he looked energetic without really exciting, but it shows that he's willing to give that youth a chance. And it seems to be a lot of the time when things aren't going great, you see a lot of shouts in social media and the crowd give the youth a chance. So a lot of people are getting their wish. I think they will with Stevie Hamill. And I think the only thing that the main positive that I can see from it is it's going to attract players. It's going to be a difference. If that's Motherwell's going to be Motherwell's model, and certainly reading between the lines what he said in his interview today, that's what he wants. He wants to be the club that there's a clear pathway from the academy into the first team, which might have the likes of Bailey Rice, who went to Rangers. That may be the difference in keeping a player like that at Motherwell. Obviously, you're going to have, you just need to look at our academy, and Stuart McKinstry, Rhys McAleer, who was a revelation at Inverness last year, and obviously they went down to Norwich. So if he can get these players first team opportunities, then who knows what it will bring. I mean, look at the group he came through with. So there's nobody else to pitch it than Stevie Hamill. And I think the thing is, what's important is we need to get behind him. And in time in football, doesn't come free of charge, because if we're sitting I hate to be negative. If you're sitting bottom of the league at Christmas time, the fans will vote with their feet, and for Park will be an empty place, which will affect the revenue. So I think you'll get patience for a few months, but I really, really hope that he's a success.
Jaffa, we'll talk about his first game later on, but in terms of the immediate future, then Stevie Hamill mentioned in his interview for the club today that he's already identified some targets. There's a plan in place already. So where my concern was that we had maybe lost a week and a half of transfer activity, which is the case, but at least we're not behind in terms of ideas. We've got some potential targets there. The club are going to face a wee bit of a hit here because we've allowed manager to bring in a number of his own staff. He's obviously left with a good bit of his contract still intact. We're then having to replace staff. The goalkeeping coach, Andy Dibble, left the other day. Now, I think that it'll be the case that Scott Fox will replace him on a permanent basis and will try to almost promote from within. But it is going to be a costly process when it comes to replacing some of the players that are already there, getting rid of some of the players that are already there. That's another factor as to why I think we've opted for Stevie Hamill. For me, Steve Valakari coming in, there was every possibility that he was going to want to have a look at these players for a couple of weeks. By that point, you've only got a week left of the transfer window. You're also kind of risking the fact that you might decide to keep some of the guys that even us in the stands know are nowhere near good enough for Scottish Premiership football.
I would disagree with you slightly. I don't think that kind of we've lost a week and a half sort of looking at players, because it's obviously sort of the overall decision will be made by a manager, but it's obviously we've got a team in place to actually sort of identify players, and it's fairly obvious where the positions that we're needing players to come in on. So I genuinely think that kind of even when Hamill took over as a caretaker boss, he would have been speaking to that team and sort of saying, who do you have for these positions? And it's now that he has been given the post permanently that he can say yes or no to these people. I think from what I've heard, from kind of what I can gather from people that I've spoke to in the past, it's kind of the boy Sandy does, isn't it? I'm pretty sure he's got like maybe three or four left backs, three or four strikers, three or four kind of like wingers or whatever that would maybe be available to us in our kind of price range. And it's then up to sort of Stevie Hamill to say, right, which ones are we going to approach? But it's, I think, obviously because of the timing of Alexander leaving, and it's like everybody could see that those spaces were kind of up for grabs. So I think that there would have maybe even been a committee behind the scenes that would have said, right, well, we really need cover in this position, even if it's for a caretaker manager, because bringing a new manager in, they won't have time to assess the squad and identify what we need. We need to kind of say to them, right, that's your squad, and it's you can maybe add one or two bodies. But I wouldn't be too concerned about that. But it's hopefully kind of we can move quickly and maybe sort of be in the pro. Obviously, kind of Hamill's interview, it seems as if he was appointed yesterday. So hopefully today, sort of before he did all the press sort of things, we're already in the process of talking to his targets. But I
disagree with you, Jaffa, totally. And I think Andy does make a good point. I've got a real concern with the recruitment team just now. I mean, I don't... Over the last few transfer windows, I just don't think it's been good enough. If you look at Slattery, it's a decent enough signing. Van Veen was definitely Graeme Alexander that signed. There's none of them really jump out that I would say would get a big money move anywhere. And I would like to think, this is where I'm interested to see Hamill obviously has come in, and I think he's been pretty honest in his summary of what I was really surprised about was when he said, then you get the players fitter. This should be the type of the season when they're fitter, but that's a different argument. But I would like to think that they've got their own targets as well. They've got their own contacts. And I'd be interested to see if Nick Dawes stays at the club, because he's a kind of a, obviously, been running about the same kind of clubs as Alexander. Is that an Alexander appointment? And is there going to be a real shake-up of the infrastructure to really take the club forward? So I think there's a bigger picture than having that team there, because I don't think the team there has really been a success. So I would hope that Stevie Hamill has said, I've got my own targets as well, through his contacts in football. And having the couple of weeks before, is certainly he'll know. I mean, we'll see more Valakari know who. Obviously, he'll know Oyala. But will he completely be aware of the likes of the calibre of McGinn, the players that haven't cut in the mustard? And I think that's what's going to be important, that Hamill seems to be aware of where we're at this current time.
I agree with you that kind of probably sort of the last couple of transfer windows haven't been great, and sort of there's only one or two sort of that have come out, but it's, I think sort of in the past that we're kind of working a 50% strike rate of good and bad, but kind of whether that's down to the manager's choice or whether that's down to the backroom staff. But you're absolutely right. I mean, kind of, it may well be that Andy Dawes is a Graham Alexander appointment. He may not be there for the future, but obviously sort of with Hamill having worked away on the youth side of things, he might have seen some guys coming through youth level who maybe aren't sort of getting a game elsewhere and has his own targets. But it's certainly good that it's been done this early. And it will hopefully, kind of, as I said, I just hope that kind of he has targets that he's working on signing just now, and sort of can get them in at least over the weekend to sort of start next week, if not for Saturday, because we're desperately short in a couple of positions, especially with injuries now kind of starting to mount as well. But I did think it was sort of interesting when he did say that about the fitness, because I said kind of before the last time I was on here, I said kind of having been at the Partick game, they just didn't look ready for the season. And I think that was kind of sadly borne out in the Sligo games. And obviously with what kind of Hamill has said, that sort of seems to suggest as well that he had a problem with kind of how fit they are coming back for pre-season. But what do you think of the appointment, Andy?
Generally, I would say that I'm relatively happy. I wouldn't say that any of the names mentioned over the course of the last week had me jumping for joy or are absolutely thrilled. But at the same time, neither did Stephen Robinson, neither did Graham Alexander. And in the months following those appointments, I think things did get better, of course. And we'll go on to talk about the kind of rapid decline under Graham Alexander. But I think it would be hard for anyone to argue that he didn't come in and keep the team in the league and then made a bright start to the following season as well. So things did go in the right direction following the removal of a manager and the appointment of a new one. The inexperience is a concern, but I think what he lacks in experience might actually be overruled by his experience of at Motherwell Football Club, his relationships with people from within the club, and just a kind of general knowledge of the youth market as well. I'm sure Stevie Hamill has many, many dealings with a wide range of players that maybe didn't come to Motherwell due to the fact that under Stephen Robinson latterly, and then also Graham Alexander throughout his tenure, didn't get an opportunity. So I think this is going to be seen as a change into the guard. And I now think that, I think back to seasons, even the administration season, and we don't want a repeat of that, of course we don't, not administration or finishing bottom of the league, but I think we will see young blood in the team. I think that will be exciting. I think we will see some emerging talents that will get the fans up for going to Fir Park. The one thing I'd say is going into the start of this season, I don't think I spoke to anyone that was excited or upbeat. Now we've got something to be intrigued about, at least. I know you were saying that, and I would imagine that was on Facebook, that the reaction was fairly negative, but I thought on Twitter it was relatively balanced. There was quite a clamouring for Simo Vallecari. And don't get me wrong, I could see the pluses for that, but at the same time, throwing in a guy that hasn't been involved in Scottish football for over 20 years, I thought that was hugely, hugely risky. And maybe not the kind of direction to go in when we just need someone to steady the ship and effectively achieve our objective of eighth. We're only two games into the season, and already I'm thinking, if we get to May and we're in 10th place, I'll be absolutely delighted. I don't know what you guys are thinking in terms of that, but I think the state that Graeme Alexander left that playing squad in is almost unforgivable, and it's a huge, huge task for anyone taking over.
See, just in relation to Simo Vallecari, see if Simo Vallecari hadn't played for Mullerow. I know that he did, so it makes us a wee bit invalid, but I don't know if it would have been clambering as much to get him. I mean, he's done well in Finland, but his record in Norway, he tried the same style of football and got the team relegated and was relieved for his position. So when I read that, I thought, oft, and then I get the fear of the Harry Campman time where we had the likes of Mika Kevin and goals, and we had Rob Matai, Dusberg, Jan Mikkels, all these players, Kai Nissenen, that it just didn't work. And I think that it was a gamble at the time where we really needed a wee bit of kind of a continuity, I think, now with the club, with Stevie Hamill's continuity being the academy. So I can definitely see the way that we're going. I think when we're talking about the recruitment, what I'll be interested in over the next couple of weeks, if there's any players head out the door, likes of Oyala, players like that I just don't think are good enough to make way to get replacements in. So that'll be an interesting aspect in the next couple of weeks for me as well.
Let's go all the way back to, well, a fortnight ago, and how this situation unravelled, and it did so very rapidly, as I've already alluded to earlier on. A 2-0 defeat against Sligo Rovers meant a really pathetic exit of the UEFA Conference League. Terrible performance. The team looked, quite frankly, disinterested. It was a real night to forget. Jaffa, I know you were there. We'll only talk about this briefly, but it felt from the goal after a couple of minutes, from about 35 yards, that the writing was on the wall for Graeme Alexander. The fans turned very quickly, and although there were some attempts from the supporters to try and rouse the players, they were getting nothing back from the guys on the park. Into the second half, we didn't up the ante. The game was there because they weren't a good side, and I know we were kind of giving them faint praise ahead of the second leg, but we knew deep down that we should be beating Sligo Rovers, and still maintain that. It was exemplified by the fact they went to Norway the following week, and I think they were 3-0 down after about 16 minutes. It was a tie we should have won, but it was a tie that completely escaped us in both legs. But the game in Ireland, there was no way back for Graeme Alexander following that full-time whistle, was there?
No, absolutely not. And you're absolutely right. And to be honest, it's kind of almost every Sligo fan that we spoke to over there prior to the game had all pretty much conceded the game already and conceded the tie, thinking that there was no way that kind of Motherwell could be that bad again. And it was like, kind of, it was pretty much me and my mate were the only ones that were sort of saying, there's no way that we can have improved that much in a week. We'll hopefully not play that badly again, but I don't see kind of, I can't see us coming over here and absolutely blitzing you, because it's that first leg was so bad. And it's when we opened up, it was kind of the first goal, as you say, absolutely killed it. And it was funny, because I was speaking to my mate as they were lining up to take the free kick, and there was four of them over the ball. And I thought, why is there four of them round the ball? There's no way they're going to shoot from there. And then kind of there was no wall, and Liam Kelly sort of chose to kind of cover a post rather than sort of stand in the middle of the goal. And the boy will never have a better free kick, but it was just poor all round, and it just sort of kind of summed up sort of the last 6 months of Graham Alexander's Motherwell career. Just rubbish.
I do really laugh to myself there, because it sounded like you were about to call him Graham Kinnenburgh, and that was after he called Nick Dawes, Sandy Dawes and Andy Dawes already during this podcast. So that was nearly a hat trick for you there. But no, I completely agree. And Pepe, we tried to be positive about the fifth place finish, and I suppose you've got to, because European ventures, in inverted commas, don't come about very often. We took a fantastic support over there. The hope was that we were going to go on and have a wee bit of a run. For it to end in that fashion, it's got to be right up there with a MyPa 47 or a Stjarnan type result. I would say it was actually probably superseded those games.
It's the worst result in my lifetime as a Motherwell supporter. It was an absolute embarrassment. There's nothing else you can say about it. Obviously, getting beat with teams for Iceland and Finland were shocking, but getting beat with a team like that, I just couldn't believe it. And even when I can remember the MyPa 47 game, Lee McCulloch had a ball that hit the post in the last minute, and we were close to getting through and showed a bit of fight and desire and determination to get through that game, similar to the game away in Iceland, I think, which Stevie Hamill actually scored over there. But we showed nothing. We showed absolutely nothing. There was no creativity. There was no desire. They looked half fit. They looked as if they weren't interested. And I was actually glad that I hadn't even over. And obviously, I was more than delighted that I hadn't booked the flights to Prague that I almost did before the home leg. On paper, that game should have been Motherwell's easy. And obviously, we got beat with Clonethley and Airdrie. We went down there and convincingly beat them down in Wales. But the real kind of concern was that we showed nothing. No fight, nothing at all. And I couldn't help but think there was more going on, which will never come out. And I think that there's been kind of a rift in the dressing room. It's not really, obviously Stephen O'Donnell's come out and said bits and bobs and Welsh that was report when he was reporting it, you read that he'd been stripped of the captaincy. And unless I had missed it, I wasn't aware that had happened. So there's obviously been something serious enough to do that. And that must have had a detrimental effect in the squad. And hopefully, again, someday like Stephen Hamill will come in and be able to galvanise that squad, be bringing some youth into it and some fresh faces. And maybe in 2 or 3 weeks, the Sligo game will be a thing of the past, and we don't ever need to think about it again.
And the day after the inevitable news broke that Graham Alexander had been relieved of his duties as Motherwell manager, Pepe, I kind of tried to sum up my thoughts on Graham Alexander's time at the club. And again, I'll go over it briefly. The fact that he came in and kept a team that looked destined for relegation in the league was a good feat. The start of last season, while it wasn't groundbreaking in any stretch of the imagination, we accumulated enough points to go into the winter break in fourth place. Things looked pretty rosy after that Livingston game and Boxing Day of last year. From there, it was a downward spiral, and one that happened very, very quickly. He had completely lost the supporters. He seemed to have lost some of the players. The recruitment was poor. It was a shame, because as the statement that he released, I felt like he extenuated every positive that he had achieved during his time at Firth Park. But at the same time, it's not it's not what you want. If the manager's struggling, then that inevitably means the team's struggling. So it was just a bit of a disappointing ending, really.
It was, but I mean, it's almost the similar circumstances to what happened to him at Salford. Like, if you look at what he achieved there, but none of the fans were happy. The Gary Neville came out and said, and yeah, we've qualified for Europe, and he's got this stat that you can't dispute, that he's had the most points behind Rangers and Celtic in the calendar year that he's had. But when I was on the Aberdeen podcast the other night, I said I couldn't really remember last season many games that I actually enjoyed, and the games that we did win, even the ones at Pittodrie where Van Veen scores a couple, I don't like to say we were lucky to win, because you can only play what's in front of you. But we were never really convincing. And even when we were doing it at the end of the season, your kind of highlights of the season, it was like beating Aberdeen in the kind of fourth round or the fifth round of the Scottish Cup. So there was nothing really exciting. And the football was shite. Even when, if you look back to that Ross County game, yeah, we took up a big support, but we kind of scraped a penalty. And the amount of chances that they had, it was just... I mean, I think that I was probably one of his biggest supporters. I quite liked him because I'd met him a few times, and he was always had time, and he was quite a personable guy. Always seemed to have time to stop him, have a chat with supporters and stuff like that. But tactically, and when I watched the Ross County, when the Sligo game, that was me. There was nothing. And I think when you look at that, you can turn the stats the other way. How can a manager survive when he's won five games in for Boxing Day? There was no way back at all. And I think everybody agreed in the end. And it sounds as if he thought the same, but then he just didn't know there was nowhere to turn.
And Jaff, I imagine that you're not a million miles away in your assessment of Graeme Alexander's time with the club.
No, I think sort of Pepe's kind of bang on. It's one of those things, though. It's like kind of speaking to fans of other clubs and stuff like that, and it's kind of, some of them were quite surprised, but then when you kind of point out that how bad things had been since Boxing Day, that kind of, he probably only kept his job because, like, for whatever reason, we managed to stay in the top six and sort of get into Europe, and that gave him a wee bit of a chance. But can obviously sort of, after those Sligo games, it's kind of, I've said that I always hate to see a Motherwell manager get sacked. I've never ever kind of been one to kind of to shout for a manager to get sacked, because I've always got that kind of, as a silly Motherwell fan, I've always got a belief that the manager will turn it round. But kind of, I was saying kind of he should have been sacked at half time of the first leg, because it was just terrible.
So, of course, you've had the Sligo defeat. You've then had that followed up by the sacking of the manager. 2 days after that, the league opener at St Mirren. It was one that filled me with a fair degree of trepidation. It was announced shortly after Graeme Alexander's departure that Stevie Hamill and Brian Kerr would take the reins for that game. And it wasn't wholesale changes. There was a couple of changes to the starting lineup. It was a Liam Kelly-inspired performance that managed to get us the 3 points. Kevin Van Veen slotted away a penalty just before half-time for our goal, the only goal of the match. Pepe, we've talked so many times about the importance of Liam Kelly. I think Stevie Hamill owed him a few pints after that game, because he certainly was the sole reason that he got off to a winning start as manager.
It certainly had an inspired performance, and I think that performance kind of took his press conference out of the equation we had said about the kind of toxic levels of the abuse aimed at Graeme Alexander. Now, we've often said this, I don't like the personal abuse that some people get, but I think he went a wee bit far with that, and I was delighted with his response that virtually won us the game. It was a very kind of a similar Graeme Alexander win I've just discussed there, but it did show that the dressing room seemed to be back, and it did give us that wee boost. And it was great to see the academy graduate coming on keen to make his debut. And looking energetic at that. So that was kind of a pleasing thing. And what else I really liked was you could sense the kind of the will to win for the bench. I mean, I know we're going to go into the St Johnston, but the way that they celebrated, you can see how much they want it. And I don't want to say, oh, it feels like they're one of us, but it feels as if maybe that feeling's going to come back a wee bit where there is that wee bit more of a connect with the management and the support and the squad. So here's hoping that's a kind of wee testy of what we're going to see, although the performance level wasn't as good as what I thought it was made out to be. In another day, St Mirren could have won that game, but the football gods seen it fit to give it to Motherwell that day.
Jaff, just a couple more points on the game. The importance of getting off to a winning start was absolutely massive for me. It looks like we've got a favourable kind of first half a dozen fixtures. Maybe Saturday's trip to Pittodrie excluded, but there was games there that I thought we could and should take points from. After what had happened in Europe, as I say, I went in with a real feeling of dread. And of course, you've got four or five familiar faces within the St Mirren ranks as well. It went our way. Another kind of controversial moment certainly was the most cut and dry red card that you're ever likely to see. An absolute shocking tackle by Ricky Lamy, putting us under even more pressure for the final 10 minutes. It's something that we could really do without. Just that, I don't even want to call it over-enthusiasm. It just looked really careless and really sloppy. Just putting us so under the cosh when we needed it. We needed to be the opposite. We needed the ball up the park and to be kind of heading for the corners. Instead, we just get pinned back further and further. It made for a really nerve-jangling last 10. And obviously, has ruled Ricky out in the next two games as well.
I definitely went into the game with exactly the same feeling as you. Obviously, I'd sorted the St Mirren tickets out before I'd gone to Sligo. And kind of after the Sligo game, I wasn't even sure whether I was going to go to the St Mirren game, to be honest. Despite having tickets, but what I saw in the first 10 minutes, there was a couple of people who were sitting round about me who I'd seen in Sligo, and it was like we were all commenting that we played more football in the first 10 minutes of the St Mirren game than we did over two legs against Sligo. So that was certainly a bonus, and I think you're absolutely right, kind of, that it was a clear-cut red card for Ricky Lamy. I'm kind of hoping it was a sort of desperation tackle, trying his hardest to sort of get rid of it rather than sort of being anything malicious in it and trying to injure the boy. But kind of, as you say, I think it definitely put us under pressure for the last 10 minutes, but kind of what it's also done is sort of we're without his services for the next two games, which were obviously kind of absolutely key as he'd sort of established himself as maybe probably the best centre half that we've got. But it was pleasing to get the victory. We went into the game with absolutely kind of zero expectations, given that sort of Stevie Hamill wouldn't have even had a chance to do a kind of training session with them. He would have only sort of had them sort of for a brief runabout on the Saturday before the game, obviously after the game on Thursday night. So came away absolutely delighted. We did sort of hang on. Kind of Liam Kelly sort of absolutely sort of came through for us. I was a wee bit worried, sort of, as I said, after the second leg of the Sligo game and kind of like the free kick goal that he gave away. It's kind of, I kind of think he's got to look at himself for that. So when he came through, and obviously what Pep said about kind of his interview after the Sligo game and after kind of Alexander getting sacked, sort of basically blaming the fans for it, it's like, I don't know that kind of that was a wise move, but kind of it was an inspired display, and it's what we'd come to expect from him. So that was really good. But it was just a massive 3 points, given, as you said, the kind of all the familiar faces in their ranks. I thought it was kind of set up for a kind of last minute Richard Tate kind of winner. So I was just delighted to come away with 3 points at the end.
See, I've got a different opinion to you, Andy, with the red card. I've got, obviously, you don't want your player getting sent off, but I would rather he get sent off the determination, the grit to win that ball, and maybe that has resulted in it being reckless, but I still seen that he was committed. I would rather that he get a red card for than kicking the ball away, descent, something that you control. He just wanted to win that ball, and I don't want to take that out of anybody's game.
Yeah, perhaps, mate. I just thought that the timing of it really could have proven costly. Of course, it didn't. And I wanted to ask you another question on the build-up to the St Mirren game, and both of you have mentioned it already. Liam Kelly's press conference didn't go down well whatsoever with large sections of the supporters. Some of them reading it as they're travelling back from an expensive trip to Ireland where the team hadn't performed. There was a talk about the need for togetherness, a talk for the need for the fans to be on the team's side. Did you see more of that at St Mirren, Jaffa, in terms of the supporters kind of rallying round the team, knowing that they were backs against the wall and given who the manager was as well? Do you feel that kind of increased the atmosphere and increased the players' kind of response as a result?
Definitely, mate. Definitely. I was a bit worried, sort of given something that before the game, what the atmosphere was going to be, obviously after the disappointment of Sligo game. But kind of I think with the appointment of the caretaker of Stevie Hamill, it was the crowd. It was quite a big travelling support that turned out, and kind of they pretty much got behind the team from them being out warming up, and got right behind the manager. So kind of obviously that I think that played a part as well. I was a wee bit surprised, to be honest. That I kind of thought there would maybe be a wee bit of the thing that Liam Kelly had talked about. I thought that would stoke a bit of that up, but it wasn't nothing that I saw when I was at St Mirren, kind of, that there wasn't any of that. So I think kind of they got 100% backing for the crowd.
I also think that there's got to be a bit of credit given to Stevie Hamill for after the game, because without leaving Liam Kelly out, hanging him out to dry, basically, Stevie Hamill said, no, hold on now, the fans for this club are excellent. And who else is going to say it was somebody that's played almost 500 times for the club? And I thought his post-match interview and his pre-match interviews were excellent for St Mirren, for somebody who we're calling inexperienced. And I think that goes to show probably why the club, and I think you're right, Andy, I think the manager has certainly brought everybody a wee bit closer together, and there's a wee bit of kind of, right, we're all one big community club, and he's trying to sell that. So I think all these factors have added up, and the more that sometimes when you come onto these podcasts and you actually sit and talk about it, I'm actually probably more positive about the appointment now when I start to see it, particularly when I've just seen the post that Motherwell's put on with all the different strips that Stevie Hamill is wore with Motherwell. It's quite a nice graphic, that.
You then moved on to Stevie Hamill's first game in charge at Fir Park, albeit on a temporary basis at that point. St Johnstone, the visitors, they take the lead in the first half. We get back into the game in injury time, an own goal. I know Stephen O'Donnell looked like he wanted to claim it. Back in the game at 1-1, but somehow managed to succumb to a 94th minute goal by Stevie May. St Johnston, who were really down in their luck and looked like dead certs for relegation, given their second half of last season and how they started this season as well with the Premier Sports Cup, and then losing a late goal themselves to Hibs in the opening day. They leave for part with all 3 points. And while I talked about how good a result it was at St Mirren, this kind of turns it on its head and makes it almost less significant, that result at St Mirren. And I say that because after getting the 3 points, I'm thinking, right, we might have a bonus point here, at least one bonus point. We might have 3 bonus points. And suddenly you're already 6 points ahead of St Johnston, 6 points ahead of St Mirren. But instead, we managed to succumb to a 94th minute goal. And at that point, Jaffa, I thought it was a real, real hammer blow for Stevie Hamill's aspirations to become manager.
It was great. The first half performance was very reminiscent of an Alexander performance, but kind of fair play to Stevie Hamill. He was bold in making 2 substitutions at half time, and looked as if he'd sort of changed the game. We did come into it a bit in the second half, and obviously sort of we were kind of plodding away, and maybe got lucky with the own goal equaliser, but it was criminal defending. It's obviously kind of it comes from a corner, but we've cleared the corner, and then everybody just sort of seems to stream out the box, and nobody thinks this could come back in here, and we need to be marking men, and that's obviously what ultimately undone is. It was a very, very poor goal to lose on, and did feel like a hammer blow, and did sort of kind of think, is that it for Stevie Hamill's hopes? But it was disappointing, but kind of, it's, as you said, kind of, it could have given us that springboard to go on to so much better and kind of be 6 points kind of clear of where we thought we would maybe be sort of going out after the European games. But obviously kind of it didn't affect his chances, and sort of hopefully everybody now sort of buys into it. He's got another week to work in the team and sort of put that to bed, and we don't have to sort of worry about that again. But it wasn't a great sort of performance to kind of by the team kind of defending that corner in the 94th minute to lose that goal. It's just criminal. But
Pepe, did you see enough positives from the first two games, or did you see enough improved performances from certain individuals in these first two games under Stevie Hamill that has maybe turned you around on them and thinks that they're maybe worth a second chance? There's a few that I've kind of made my mind up on, I must say. Particularly Joe Efford, who I think has really struggled basically since he's come in. But there's 3 or 4 more that I would happily see the back of right now. On the other hand, is there anyone that's kind of played in the last two games that's caught your eye and you think that's worthy of staying when you maybe didn't think that was the case even 2 or 3 weeks ago?
The alarming thing is, no, I don't think any of the performances have been great. I said that about St Mirren. I think if I was a St Mirren fan, I would have left the game thinking, how did we not come away with at least a point with some of the chances that we had? St Johnston, I thought in the second half we certainly improved. They didn't create much. But if you go for, I mean, I quite like McGinn, but I don't think he's any better than O'Donnell. And I thought O'Donnell done all right at left back. But our 2 centre-halves, I just don't think are good enough. McGabby had a good few months, and I don't want to go back to being the completely negative voice about Bevis McGabby. He's maybe just going through a confidence spurt, but it seems to be now that he's having really poor errors every week. Barry Maguire, look, he's a product to the academy. Is he good enough? I don't think so. I think he tries. I think he's fit. And you go at the forward line and you're completely right. Shields, Effort. So I could go on. Even Van Veen has been, he scored a penalty I don't remember him having many other chances. So for me, I've virtually slated the full team there. But until Stevie Hamill gets some more personnel in, whether that be from the youth or whether it's going to be signings, which we need ASAP, then we can start to judge. But there's nobody, apart from Liam Kelly, that's really been outstanding or improved in the two games that I could see. I don't know if yourself and Jaff think any different. And that's probably why I thought Stevie Hamill maybe wouldn't have got the job. I was totally agreeing with you. I thought when that goal went in at the end, I thought that was the end of that kind of the chance that he'd had. And I think maybe a wee bit of him thought that. But listen, he's here now, and it's really up to the players that are there to try and play for the future. But as I said earlier on in the podcast, I think it's quite important that a few of these players, they're only his players. Is there a chance that he could move them on? There's a lot of business to be done there, whether it can be done in this window or whether we need to wait until the January window. We'll just need to wait and see. But I think there's quite a lot of deadwood there. And I've mentioned a lot of the players, and there's probably more that I just can't think of off the top of my head.
I must confess, I was struggling as well. But I'm kind of looking through the squad just now. And yeah, there's possibly more that I would get rid of than I would keep right now. And that's quite a harrowing prospect for the weeks ahead. It's going to be a massive task trying to get some of these guys off the books, especially when we've been giving out such unrealistic contracts, really. You look at someone like Yanni Ayala, for example, someone that has such a history of injuries. Why were we giving him such an extended period of time that's a contract? Do you not test the waters and see what he's like? Were we buying a Finnish international and we thought, right, within a year here, we're going to be selling this guy on. Surely we're going to be a wee bit more in-depth there. I'm not really having it. When you look at the history of Yanni Ayala, he's got a real reputation for being injury-prone. So it's not the case that he's just come to Motherwell and been really, really unlucky. It's just kind of been par for the course throughout his career. So I think we need to be more streetwise when it comes to some of these contracts. Now, there's obviously another way of looking at it in terms of some of the guys we've got in a year or 2 years and we run the risk of losing them. But at the same time, you've got guys like Kevin Van Veen, for instance, where there was a bit of interest and we tied him up onto a new deal. That was generally, at that time, was a good bit of news. I know that his performances haven't set the world alight in the first couple of weeks of the season, but we know what we can get from him on his day. Yeah, I think it's almost kind of test the waters and then act rather than just diving in feet first. And we've done that too many times. That's going to make it so difficult to get rid of so many of these players. Even in terms of the summer signings, I thought Josh Morris, for what it's worth, looked all right in the first game against Sligo. He's been downhill since then, and I really don't know. It was very much an Alexander signing, that, wasn't it? You've got a guy just in the door and already you're wanting him straight back out the door. It's got to be a massive, massive headache. And what a massive challenge it is as well for a manager just in the door to make these wholesale changes. I don't think that realistically we're going to manage to get all the business we want to get done. And by that I mean ins and outs over the course of the next 2 days, 2 weeks and 6 days.
No, I don't think that the timescale of that is going to be able to get rid of all of the players that we've mentioned and bring. Isn't it going to be possible? I think realistically, if we could get maybe a couple of the players off the books, I don't think we can really. Josh Morris hasn't really had a chance, and I don't think he's played in his natural position, which I think is playing in the left of the midfield. And he's been forced up front because we've not got attack-minded players to fall in. And I think that's part of the problem. So I think it's probably unfair to say we're wanting him out the door. I don't think that he's had any opportunity. And he's obviously taken off at half-time because he wasn't doing it. And on Saturday. But I think the most important thing at the moment is that we get players in to fill the positions. We all know we need a left back. O'Donnell can play there. We need a winger. We need a striker. We need a centre half. And if we get them in, maybe get one out the door. And if players aren't playing, then hopefully by January there'll be enough time to get them out. I think what was interesting in Stevie Hamill's interview is there is a short term plan to improve. So at least Stevie Hamill is aware of that, and hopefully he's given the backing of the board to get this his project off the ground.
So we now move on to Aberdeen on Saturday. It's a big game, of course it is. Aberdeen have got off to a fantastic start. 2 wins from 2. So they'll be full of cut. They've not won 2 from 2. So we now move on to Aberdeen on Saturday. Massive game. Aberdeen get a really quite impressive victory over St Mirren. Albeit St Mirren were down to 10 men for the majority of the game last weekend. Jaffa, in terms of the way the fixtures have fallen, Stevie Hamill possibly would have liked an easier start, if you will, but certainly we can draw on some of the results against Aberdeen last season if we're looking for a wee bit of inspiration. Obviously winning at Pittodrie, winning at Fir Park as well, a draw at Fir Park, and then a victory over them in the Scottish Cup. So they'll not be relishing coming up against Motherwell, I wouldn't imagine, but it's one they'll see as 3 points, and one that I think we'll be looking for a performance more than anything else.
Definitely, that's what I'm looking for, is just a performance. But we've had a decent record over Aberdeen in the last couple of seasons, and it's a lot of them. There was a lot of sort of performances that have came on the back of us being terrible. I can remember looking up there and beating them 3-0 and wondering where that performance came from, because there'd been no signs of it in the weeks previous to it. So you go up with more hope than expectation, but the thing that I would like to see is kind of, rather than sticking to the Alexander Grigg game plan of the 4-3-3, which we don't have the players to play, I would like to see us sort of try something different, which maybe play to the strengths of some of the guys who maybe haven't had a run at things and have maybe had to sort of play slightly out of position, as Pepe sort of mentioned. I've always sort of thought that we discussed this coming back from Sligo, that kind of we actually feel that there's a decent spine of a team there, and it's just sort of getting players to play around about them. But you go into the game just hoping for a performance, hoping that kind of another week kind of working with Stevie Hamill this week brings the mood sort of slightly back a wee bit better than it's been, and kind of you just go into it and sort of hope the performance is there and to kick us forward for the coming weeks. But I'm not getting into it sort of thinking we're definitely going to win, but I'm certainly not getting into it thinking Aberdeen are a powerhouse in this league. It's kind of, they're definitely beatable, but we'll just see what the kind of performance is like.
I think we've got it. I think the chances are increased if we get a player in to bolster the attack. I really do. I think that will be a big factor. And just jumping back, sorry, one thing that I noticed on Saturday was that Stevie Hamill moved the dugouts back, which was a bit pleasing, if not a wee bit confusing at times, because I still looked at the other dugout for substitutions and stuff like that. And then I get confused again on Saturday, and also because I'm sitting right down the front, the lockdown, so it was a completely different viewpoint for Fir Park again. So that was another change that he's made straight away. So fair play to him for that too.
Very sharp. We kind of, let's go full circle and we'll discuss Stevie Hamill again. Pepe, you already mentioned there that you're hoping to see a new face in as soon as tomorrow, if possible, and I'm sure that the club will be working round the clock to try and get these new faces integrated into the squad and get them signed up as soon as possible. What are you hoping to see for the first week if Stevie Hamill's tenure as manager, he's obviously discussed the importance of strengthening the squad. We've now got a situation as well where we don't have a head of an academy. I would imagine there'll be an appointment forthcoming there. There's still question marks over those that are left over from Graham Alexander's time as well. What's the priority list, or how does it look like from your perspective?
The priority list's got to be that we get players in. That's if the club don't stay in the Premier League, then the academy can't be sustained to the level that it's currently at. We bringing players in, attracting players in. So the priority is going to be the first team in the short term. It might be that we need to sign some experienced players to come in there to complement the young players. In relation to the academy, I know David Clarkson's still there, so I would imagine that it's in capable hands with him and Brian Carroll still dip in. I would quite like to see somebody coming in with a wee bit of experience, kind of club management, day-to-day running to help Stevie Hamill. I don't think that's going to be a priority in the first week. I think the first week is really just hopefully getting a player in, getting a good positive performance and result against Aberdeen, and then we've got a game at home to really welcome Stevie Hamill as the manager at home against Livingston. And really, as you've said, when you look at the start to the season, it's been quite favourable. So I'm quite looking forward to it now that we know who the manager is. And I don't think there's much that you can expect in the first week. We're not going to get a full new squad. I suppose all I'm looking for is an improvement and enjoyment back. And if we get that, then I'm happy.
How about yourself, Jaffa?
I'm much the same as Pepe. It's kind of looking to see new faces come in. It's kind of I definitely think kind of if we get somebody in the door either tonight or tomorrow would be a major boost for Saturday. But kind of certainly kind of the positions that we've discussed already, they need bodies just to play in those positions, so that we haven't got kind of games where the guys having to play out of position where kind of they're susceptible to mistakes. Because it's just positions that they don't naturally play. But I was agreed with Pepe as well that it's a decent game for Hamill for his first home game in permanent charge against Livingston. That's another big opportunity to put points on the board. But I could just kind of fairly positive about things now. Kind of after being in the depths after Sligo, it's the positivity's coming back and actually sort of looking forward to the season rather than kind of dreading Saturday coming now. So, aye.
Do you know, another positive that I've got, not just for the coming week, is that I've often said that I get a bit frustrated with the lack of coverage of the under-18s, under-20s, whatever they are. Now, I know that we were unfortunate against East Kilbride the other night, but I'm quite looking forward to seeing the young players progressing through and playing in a kind of competitive, albeit reserve league. And then if there is players that aren't getting game time or coming back from a long-term injury that need game time, for example, Oyala might go out and play at one of these games. We've not really seen too much of Ross Tierney, as I've already said, Robbie Mahon, I think is how we pronounce it. So I think that's a real positive as well, in the fact that we've got the right man in the dugout that knows these players inside out, and if there is a player that's performing well, then if the fans are clamouring for it to, if you go back to the days of Turnbull, Campbell, we were all shouting for them to get a shot in the first team. I don't think that we'll need to be shouting much, because I think Stevie Hamill will be there to put them straight into it, and it'll be good to see, have that kind of a viewpoint that we're able to see our academy players coming through. I mean, the boy David Devine has been kicking about Mullerow for a good couple of years. I don't even know if I've seen him playing.
I think he's in his mid-30s now.
He got sent off on Tuesday night.
But that's my point, though. Do you know what I mean? We've got this boy that's obviously done enough to earn new contracts. But I know he's had a couple of spells, at least one spell out on loan. But see, now that we're going to be able to see it and you can go up to East Kilbride and watch the games and stuff like that, certainly for me, and for putting a lot of endeavour into getting our academy to be in the shape that it is, then I think that's going to be a massive positive going forward.
It's a positive that the reserve league has come back this year for what it is, though. It's only a 9-game season. So if you want to see them, you need to go up quick.
And I suppose having a dedicated park, I know it would be nice if it was the games were at Firth Park, but you know where all the games are going to take place. They'll take place at Kay Park, home of Kilbride. It's not a massive jaunt for those that want to take the game in. I was kind of hoping to go on Tuesday night, but didn't make it. But by all accounts, the team put in a pretty respectable showing. And you look at the results from that competition as well. I think it was basically a 50-50 split in terms of Premiership teams going through or Colts teams going through and Colts teams going out. So I don't think we can read too much into the result. It's just more getting that experience and also getting them playing in front of crowds, because given the pandemic and the stop of reserve football, and possibly even before that, for the guys like Devine, they'll never really have played in front of a crowd. So I think that kind of takes away a lot of the pressure of playing. So they'll be playing in a more natural environment as to what they'll be playing at should the breakthrough into the first team.
I went up on Tuesday to the Midgie Dome. Kind of Midgie's ruined the game, to be honest. But it was a mirror of Alexander's team. We lost a goal in the first minute and lost a goal in injury time, which was disappointing. But they played in spells. They played really well. There was a kind of the second half. Kind of we should have done more than just kind of score a penalty. Tierney hit the post with a free kick and had a few good touches in the second half. Robbie Mahone sort of played, but kind of it was the boy Keane Spears was a standout, kind of, and the boy at left back who was on the bench against St Johnstone, Wilson, I think his name is, he looked quite good as well. But as they came out to start the game, you could see it was very much men against boys.
Yes, I think that's pretty much all we've got for tonight. I know we've covered a hell of a lot over the last hour or so. Thank you very much for your time.
No bother, thanks again.
Cheers, boys.
You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll not leave it 2 weeks till the next time, because you never know how much can happen in that time. Until then, thank you and goodbye.